Good afternoon, Mr. Goldstein. My name is Jim Balter, and my partner is Gene Simon. As you know, we are here to interview you for the oral history collection of the Pittsburgh section of the National Council of Jewish Women. Today is December 5th, 1989. Would you be good enough to tell us your name, address, and birthday?
I'm Samuel J. Goldstein, born October the 25th, 1904. In the city of Monongahela, Washington County.
Okay. Could you tell us a little about your own personal history? You've already told us you were born in Monongahela.
You mean my educational background?
Well, your father, your mother, where they were born, how you had brothers and sisters.
My mother immigrated from the little village of Rusane in Lithuania, near the larger city of Kovno, province of Kovno, in 18 K-O-V-N-O.
Now the village.
It's R-A-C-E-I-N. In 1896, coming through the port of Baltimore, Maryland, my mother was one of six siblings. Her father having come to the United States sometime earlier, I don't know the exact date, and settled in the town of Washington, Pennsylvania, where he became a teacher and a scholar in Hebrew. My mother's family had been bakers. Their name was Bloch, B-L-O-C-H, in Europe. And it seemed that the trade was prevalent among my maternal mother's side of the family. And they operated a bakery in this little village of Rusane. My grandfather didn't work, of course. He was busy teaching and studying the Talmud. The reason they immigrated to the United States was because of the fear of pogroms. There had recently been a pogrom sometime earlier in Lithuania, and the people were terror-stricken every time the Cossack troops rode through the villages. And they, of course, ran and hid. Life in these villages is pretty much like the Fiddler on the Roof life. It was very elemental and primary, and people had little or nothing insofar as the necessities of life is concerned. In fact, my mother tells me that the floor of the house was a dirt floor. Which was swept every Shabbos and sanded so that it could be made clean, if you can visualize that sort of a thing. My father's father came to the United States in 1889, and he remembers that because it was the year of the Johnstown flood. That's the only way they know that. In addition to my grandfather and my grandmother, there were six siblings, five sons and one daughter. And they lived near on the site of the Chatham Towers Center now, which was the scene of the location of the City of Pittsburgh horse stables. They lived on, I think it was Overhill or Underhill Street, which of course is now extinct. My grandfather, so far as I know, became a peddler of tinware, housewares. And shortly after that, I suppose after accumulating a little money, they went to Monongahela City, which was about 1890 or 91, and opened a wholesale produce business in Monongahela. the only wholesale produce business between Pittsburgh and Uniontown at that time, which was quite a distance because the roads were not paved.
Sure.
They were mud.
What
dirt.
Was the name of that company?
David Goldstein Produce Company. David was my grandfather's name. And the five siblings were in the produce business. In those days, there were no trucks, of course. In fact, even until the 1920s, they hauled by double or four-horse teams to get through the winter. And in those days, they hauled produce from Monongahela City south to Uniontown. And, of course, my father tells me stories of crossing the river with a load of produce, a double team load of produce on the ice at Rice's Landing, which is still a small town near Brownsville, Pennsylvania, because there were very few bridges in those days. The ice was not polluted, of course, the river was not polluted, and it naturally froze rather thickly, maybe 12, 14, 16 inches of ice in those days. Enough to support a team, if you can imagine a team of horses loaded down with produce crossing the ice. Anyway, that's one of the stories that he tells me.
You grew up in Mont City then?
I graduated from the Monongahela City High School in 1922 and decided to study law. But I had no money. In those days, at least in this town, there were very few Jewish people, and they did not give Jewish students the benefit of scholarship programs. That's as late as 1922. So I worked for 3 years at various jobs. At that time, my father was in the scrap iron business. Now it's called the recycling business. In those days, it was called the junk business. And I worked for 3 years and accumulated a little money, enrolled at the University of Pittsburgh in September of 1925, graduating with a degree of Bachelor of Arts in 1930.
You lived on campus or when?
I lived on campus after the first year. In fact, I was self-supporting. I got a job as a soda jerker in McCullough's drugstore at the corner of Atwood Street and Forbes for $2 a night. Worked 6 nights a week from 6 to 12 and earned $12, which was sufficient to pay my room and board. Those early years. I later graduated to become a ladies' shoe salesman for Frank and Cedars, and I worked the rest of the years at Frank and Cedars. In the afternoons, rather. I scheduled my classes so that I had classes in the morning, worked in the afternoon, and I made $5, which was a princely sum in those days. I enrolled at the University of Pittsburgh Law School in 1930, and was admitted to practice in Pennsylvania on May the 18th, 1934. And I have been a sole practitioner since. I would never join a firm, nor did I want to take orders from anybody. I'm that much of an individualist that I chose to strike out on my own. My first fee for a court appearance in 1934 was $2 when I represented a lady and her son was involved in a juvenile court proceeding. Of course, $2 was equivalent to 20 today because when we were in law school, we ate at the Colonnade cafeteria and lunch was about a quarter. Cigarettes in those days were 10 cents. Of course, this was the Depression years. and I accidentally became involved in insurance litigation in 1936, and thereafter became a specialist in life, health, accident insurance litigation, representing the plaintiffs. And I've had many, many insurance cases. In fact, my decisions made most of the current law in Pennsylvania involving group life insurance. I was involved in cases that went to the appeal courts, probably about 100 pieces of litigation in the appellate courts. I'm still engaged in practice now.
Still specializing in insurance?
Still do insurance work, in fact, almost exclusively. There are not too many plaintiff's lawyers in Pittsburgh who have ever specialized or have had the volume of litigation that I've had in the insurance field.
Did you marry in Mr. Wolstein?
Yeah, I married in 1937. Married a girl from Cleveland, Ohio, Myrtle Reicher. Myrtle Reicher Stern, R-E-I-C-H-E-R-S-T-E-A-R-N. And we lived together for 47 years until she died on July the 23rd, 1983.
Did you have children?
We have one son who has living now in New Jersey, who has four children by former marriages, and they all live in the Pittsburgh area, the grandchildren.
Would you like to name names?
My grandchildren are Robert B., Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-I, Ray, R-A-E, and Michael Lee Goldstein, and Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y, Goldstein. Robert is the only grandchild that is married, and he has a daughter, Jessica, who's now about 2 months old. Granddaughter, his daughter, makes me a great-grandfather.
Very nice. What is your son's name?
My son's name is James W. James William Goldstein.
Thank you.
Did your parents, and then later you and your wife, had a synagogue affiliation? Were you active in the religious community?
We later moved to McKeesport. In fact, we lived in Glassport beginning in 1930, at which time we became affiliated, as I did, with the Temple B'nai Israel in McKeesport, of which I am still a member. In good standing, I trust. In 1972, we left McKeesport and moved to the city of Pittsburgh, and shortly thereafter I became affiliated with the Bethel Medrash HaGadol Beth Jacob Synagogue. Since my training was essentially Orthodox, I felt that that was my proper milieu, and chose to become active in the Orthodox tradition.
You indicated, sir, your training was Orthodox. Were your parents strictly?
My mother, my father, Orthodox. Less so. My father was Orthodox. My mother was very much Orthodox. Kept a kosher house, even though there were no kosher butchers in the town. My father would go to Pittsburgh every week, every Friday, I remember. The time I was able to remember and bring home kosher meat and foods for the household.
You said there were kosher butchers in and out there?
There were not.
There were not.
No. My mother always kept a kosher house. And it was from her that I got the basic Hebrew Orthodox tradition, so to speak.
Then you were obviously bar mitzvah. You were obviously bar mitzvah.
Yes, I was bar mitzvah in Benon Yehela by studying with a Hebrew teacher who would come to the house after school from the city of Denora, Pennsylvania. And there I learned my Hebrew, and during the summertime, she sent me to Little Washington. By the time I was 6 years old, she sent me to Little Washington to go to Cheder, or Hebrew school, taught by my grandfather. And there I learned to become rather fluent in Hebrew.
What was your grandfather's name?
My grandfather's name was Harris Bloch, B-L-O-C-H. This is very interesting. When he came to the United States, apparently through Baltimore, and was going through immigration, they couldn't understand his last name, which was Yosilovich, a cousin of the singer Yoselson. Not Cantor. Al Jolson's Yiddish name was Yoselson, or Yolson as it was abbreviated, and they were related distantly. In any event, they couldn't spell my grandfather's name, so he took his wife's maiden name, Bloch, B-L-O-C-H, and was thereafter known as Rabbi Zvi Bloch. Zvi means is Yiddish or Hebrew for Harry or Harris.
This was in Little Washington.
Little Washington. Went to Hebrew school at the Shul in Little Washington at the corner of Franklin and Spruce Street, which is now a Moose Lodge, by the way. And I remember you know anybody in Washington?
I had dinner there last Saturday.
My husband's family is from Little Washington.
What was their name?
Goldfarb.
My mother and father were married by Rabbi Goldfarb on January the 1st, 1898. At the holidays, there was no synagogue in Monongahela, so my grandfather would pack his family and go to Little Washington for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And there he saw a beautiful blonde lady, young lady, 18 years old, and he said to his father, "That's the girl I'm going to marry." He had never met her, but it happened to be my mother. And they were married on that day, and they had seven children, five daughters and two sons. One son died very early, and perhaps shortly after birth. And there are still four daughters and myself living. So we're still five siblings. The youngest of which is 76.
Would you like to give us their names?
Yeah,
where
their names are Esther, or Tess as she is generally known, Eva Ruth, Oaks, O-C-H-S, her married name, she's now a widow. In fact, my youngest sister, Tess, was named Burke, B-E-R-K-E, but she was widowed and has remarried under the name of Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M. Another sister was Gladys, married to Norman Feldstein, both living. He's also a lawyer, retired. And my oldest sister was Molly Lichtenstein, L-I-C-H-T-E-N-S-T-E-I-N, living with her husband in McKeesport at the present time.
You asked if I knew anybody in Washington. I said I had dinner there Saturday night.
Oh, Janice, I still communicate with a man I went to Cheder with, Ben Richmond. In fact, his father's scrapyard was right across the street from the Cheder, or the Shul, Isidore or Isaac Richmond. And I recall being playing in the yard at recess time. But I at one time knew most of the families in Washington. The Richmonds, the Landays,
the Rosenbergs,
the Sigels, the Newmarks, and a few others I don't recall.
You get pretty good memory. Were you involved in, or tell us a bit about the organizations you were active in, whether it's religious, political, professional?
Well, I was a member of the Temple Ben Israel in McKeesport. I was past president of B'nai B'rith, past president of the men's club of this temple, on the board of directors of the Temple B'nai Israel.
Here in Pittsburgh or
McKeesport, that's the Temple Israel. I was chairman of the United Jewish Federation drive in McKeesport during its heyday, or its most successful years. That would have been 1940, I think I began with the Federation, and was Man of the Year for Israel Bonds, if I remember, in 1948, and generally participated in most of the Jewish organizations and activities. Until 1972, when I left McKeesport.
You moved to Pittsburgh.
Moved to Pittsburgh.
Were you active here in Pittsburgh in organizations?
No, I a member of the Eli Goldstein Lodge of B'nai B'rith. I'm a member of Solomon Lodge number 231. That's now the Fraternity Brotherhood Solomon Lodge. Incidentally, I believe they're going to move to Monroeville. That's the news that I get. I don't know what else I can tell you about my activities in Pittsburgh. And in fact, for a few years, well, it was during the time that my wife became very ill, which was about 15 years ago. That would make it around 1974. And she was ill for about 9 years, during which time I had participated in no communal activities whatsoever until she died in 1983. But I did go to school most of that time at night, studying various courses.
Professional courses, or?
No, I studied poetry.
Good.
And wrote a considerable amount of poetry in those years, which of course is an avocation that I no longer pursue. Then I became a member of the Beth Medrash HaGadol Beth Jacob through Reverend David Rubb, R-U-B-B, who had quite a history, background history of scholarly learning, and I think some of his learning, maybe a little bit, perhaps some trifle, rubbed off a little bit. In any event, he came from a rather interesting background. He had been an officer in the Austria-Hungary army under Franz Joseph in 1914. A high-ranking officer, by the way, notwithstanding the fact that he was a Jew. And he came to this country sometime between World War I and World War II, leaving his family behind. Unfortunately, they were all wiped out in the Holocaust. And he remarried, developed a new family, and became the director of learning, shall I say, at the Bethlehem Chicago, living in an apartment built in the new structure right after the whole area was redeveloped by the Redevelopment Authority. The old shuls, Beth Jacob, which was founded in 1893, was on Townsend Street, and the Bethlehem Medrash Lagodel was on Washington Street. They were both taken by the Redevelopment Authority. They consolidated in around 1950, I believe, and then together built the new building, which I think is one of the most beautiful sanctuaries in the city of Pittsburgh. When I joined the synagogue, as a matter of fact, I happened to be president. I don't remember how long. I think I was elected in 1985. And somehow or other, they seem to think that it's a permanent job.
Are there many active people in this?
We have. This is known as the Downtown Shul. And strange enough, we have minyan every day, morning at 8 o'clock or 7:45. And mincha services and myra services every afternoon. In the winter now beginning at 4:30. And of course, services on Saturday. It is rare that we don't have a minyan for services in the morning or afternoon, notwithstanding the fact that most of the Jewish businesses have removed from Fifth Avenue, and the people still come down. They seem to develop such a warm attachment for the synagogue that they can't leave. No one can leave. People have resigned from the synagogue and then come back. They miss it, so there is a feeling of warmth and companionship and brotherhood, and that becomes innate in your...
What is the address of the...
1230 Caldwell Street, which is C-O-L-W-E-L-L. And my grandmother, my mother's mother, as I indicated to you, lived in Little Washington, and she died there in the year 1916. I was at the time 12 years old, and I never knew where she was buried. And it's very strange that I later learned that she was buried in the Beth Medrash Lagodel synagogue in the Keys Rocks, which was started in 1875 by the purchase of a piece of ground. The Beth Jacob, Beth Yankov Synagogue bought the adjoining parcel of ground. And together the Beth Amed Israel expanded. They bought five parcels of ground, which is now the joint cemetery, comprising about 5 acres, right in the heart of the McKees Rocks. I learned that my grandmother's remains were buried there about a year or so after I had joined the cemetery. And the cemetery was in such very bad shape. It was a neglected, overgrown jungle. So somehow or other I got to be chairman of the cemetery trust, I guess because nobody else would do it or take it. In these past 5 years, I've dedicated myself to renovating.
Mr. Blessing, we're going to turn the tape.
Sir?
We're going to change the tape.
Not
all right.
Quite yet.
Oh,
it's 4:30. We still have about 20 more feet.
Stop it.
Okay.